some 2,000 years ago. God sent his sacrifice. He took our sins upon himself, hung there in our shame. He was spotless and so pure. Oh, the Lamb of God for sure. For he took me as I was. Oh, praise his name. What a friend he is to me. I can hardly believe that the God of heaven brought me out of shame. Why he loves me, oh, so strong, causes me to have a song. Oh, for he took me as I was. Oh, praise his name.
Radio Network and the Truth of the Matter with Dr. Doug Quick here another Thursday evening with Dr. Doug Quick here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And we want to say welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states, our countries near and far, as well as those who've called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press number one, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you, your prayer praises, prayer requests, any of those good things, as we have Dr. Doug Quick in the house with us again for another great, great message again tonight. So, Sister Ruth, who do we got in the house with us?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We got you, Sister Emily, Brother Six, Brother Quick, and just little old me.
All right. Well, they say ladies first. So, Emily, what do you got for us?
Is she a lady? Take yourself off.
Oh. No, I'm a duck.
Okay.
I figured I'd give Bob a good laugh on that one.
All right. What do you got for us, Em?
my usual. Also be keeping my daughter in prayer. She should know about a job this week. Be keeping me in prayer because I haven't been doing so good all day. So, plus I have a couple of unspoken. With that, I'm complete.
Okay, then Sister Ruth.
Or do you want to get six next?
No, we'll do you ladies first.
Oh, all right, because I didn't mind 6 points. Okay, I've had a flu bug for about a week, and today it was especially bad. So I know the Lord's on the throne, so I believe he'll take care of it. And being prayed for Emily, too, and her mom, and all the first responders, and all the lost souls. And Reverend and Mrs. Quick, I know still need prayer. And you need some prayer too, Kenny. You got a lot going on with that. How's that going with that Bible, sweetie? You know, that one lady that we're supposed to be giving a Bible to in Scotland.
We just got to get a CD version and send it off to her, so that'd be the best for her. That's what we're working on yet.
Okay. Well, that's good. Okay, well, I'm a complete then.
All right. Well, Brother Six, you're next.
All right. Well, first off, good evening, everybody. My prayer is always for the nation, all the crazy ills of the world, just praying for peace and calmness for every situation there is, praying for our commander-in-chief. It's very, very stressful being a leader of the whole country, a lot of stress, so just prayers for that. First responders, everybody in general, my family, your friends. Just keeping me in prayer. Today is my father's heavenly birthday, so happy birthday, Papa Six Eyes. Love and miss you tremendously. Hello to Mama, sister, and brother. They're also up there in the sky as well. And just keeping me in prayer. It's a lot being the only person to take care of everything and doing it unsighted. That is very frustrating at the least, considering, you know, the people around me are sighted, and I tend to do more than they do. So just keep me in prayer, keep me calm, and pray for increase for us all. And that's it. I'm complete.
All right. And then, of course, as I've always said, the all the leaders in different nations, that they'd seek after God rather than man. Pray for, of course, our military, police forces, first responders, fire, ambulance, all of that. And then, of course, those who work in hospitals, nursing homes, and the residents there, as well as the sick and shut-in, lost in general, that they come to Christ. And, of course, for Brother Quick, that he has clarity of thought, clarity of mind, clarity of speech tonight as he brings the message. And, of course, for the ministry, for a bus, however God sees fit to provide. And with that, I'm complete, and now we'll turn it over to Brother Quick for his prayer request, his and Mrs. Quick, and of course, he can open us in prayer and get into his message tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ken. And it's good to be back again.
Yes.
It's just good to hear Brother Six's voice again. And we've got a couple of special unspoken requests that we're still bringing before the Lord. There's not been any answer yet, but that doesn't mean the Lord's not working. I believe the Lord is working. And so just keep right on praying with us, if you would, please. And we'll pray with you, Miss Emily, for your unspoken and for your daughter's job. And Brother Ken, he called to let me know that I was first on the runway tonight, and I wasn't there to answer the telephone, so I had to call him back to let him know that I know that I'm first on the line, just to make sure that he hadn't changed it and made me last on the line or something like that. But anyhow, Ken, it's just always good to hear you when you call me. So when you call me and I'm not right at the phone, just give me another jingle right off the bat, because We don't live in a large house, but where my office is at, I keep myself away from all of the noise in the house. I didn't even hear the telephone ring. And so next time I don't answer the phone, just ring it again, because I'll probably not be too awful far away from it. Ms. Quick, you got any other requests tonight? Miss Quick, pal, this is back, I guess, in January sometime, and tore up her right knee really bad, and it's still yet. And we've been to the knee doctor, and he took x-rays and then run an MRI to make sure that there was no damage on the inside, that the x-rays didn't show up. And when we went back to see about these x-rays and things, the doc walked in the room and he said, "Miss Quick, I've got some bad news for you, and yet I got some good news." And she said, "Well, just spit it out." He said, "Well," he says, "the bad news is, or the good news is, you don't need any surgery. But," he says, "the bad news is," he says, "you have a bruised bone in your knee. And I guess nurses have this game thing. I don't know what's going on, but anyhow, it wasn't long after that, but another nurse from another doctor's office said that she had a fractured bone. And because she had a fractured bone, she was not going to be able to go through a certain test. And so then when they called my wife, told her she had a fractured bone, she said, "Well, it's not fractured that I know of. Who came up with the fracture?" And, of course, nobody's been able to answer that. And so she went in, when I went in to the knee doctor I'd been going to, she went in, and when he got done with me, she just looked at him and she said, "My husband said the story has got stirred around that I have a fractured bone in my knee, but my husband has told me that if that's the case, I would not be walking." And he looked at my wife and he said, "That is very true. Your husband knows that for a fact. But," he says, "you do have a bruised bone," and he says, "it's going to take a good long while to get over that." And so she is beginning to walk a little faster. She's not near as what she was. When I first met her 61 years ago, she wanted to go for a walk with me, and I would say, hold on, where are you going? She said, "I'm going for a walk." And I'd have to hold on to her hand and slow her down a little bit. When I married her, she only weighed 88 pounds, and so it didn't take her long to get 88 pounds up and moving, I guess. But she was very fast at her walk for a good number of years, and now she's slowing down like me. I think she's just trying to keep up with me. I don't know. But anyhow, she is slowing down, but she is starting to pick up speed, and so I need to start picking up speed myself. Amen.
Amen.
But we're just glad to be back on the radio with all of our friends and our co-workers all around the world. And I'm going to have a word of prayer go into the message tonight. Is there any other request that I miss hearing? All right. Well, we'll just get started praying first and then go into the message. Our Father, thank you for this time together again with our friends and those that we know that are hearing us that know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, we're just glad to be here again. We can't see our audience. That's all right. You know who the audience is, and you can see the audience. I believe that there's lost people that's listening again this night. And I believe that your spirit has already been dealing in their heart and bringing conviction to their heart, and I'm glad for that. So I'm asking now that you just help me and give me that understanding that I must have in order to preach this message tonight, and help those that are hearing me this night. I pray that you just help each one to just get everything out of the way so that they can hear every word that you say through me onto them, and we'll sure thank you for that. But just, we need a fresh filling of your spirit, that's for sure. I'm just nothing more than just your mouthpiece, and I'm so glad to be that. So just be with us now and help us this night, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody that has a Bible right close by your hands, turn, if you would please, to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. I'm going to take my text out of this, but then I'm going to be, as I normally do, getting hither and yon from the Word of God as I do preach. The message that I want to preach this night, I have entitled it, Tremendous Needs for Troublesome Times. I could very well come back and preach under the same title again in another week or two. It just depends upon the Lord. Tremendous Needs for Troublesome Times. Jesus would talk quite often about our needs. He talked with his needs with his disciples. And we'll find here in the book of Matthew, because these verses that I'll be reading are in red letter, which means these were the words of the Lord Jesus himself speaking. And he's talking to his disciples again here. And he's going to talk to them about needs. Listen as I read this two, three verses here. Verse 31 of chapter number 6 says this. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. Isn't that amazing? Our heavenly Father knows every need that every one of us has. He knows our needs much closer than what we do. Amen. And our needs have never come as a surprise to our Lord God. He knows what's coming. Long before we know what's coming, he knows what's coming. Amen. And that's the privilege of being a child of God and knowing this about my God. Amen. But you see, we must have confidence in someone who is trustworthy. When I say trustworthy, I'm going to read a verse of scripture out of the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, and verse number 26. And listen to these words. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Did you listen to what God just said there? In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Strong confidence. I'm talking to you about confidence. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. and his children shall have a place of refuge. We read in the gospel, Matthew chapter 21, and I don't want to get up that far, but Jesus was walking with his disciples, and Jesus was all God, 100% all God, but he was 100% all man also. And Jesus became hungry. And Jesus saw this fig tree ahead with the leaves and everything. And so he went there expecting something to eat. When he got there, there was no fruit there. And so Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 19, I believe is where it's at, Jesus cursed that tree and said, let no fruit thereof ever grow on you again. And it was the very next day when they came back by there, and the tree was dead. It was dried right up. And the apostle Peter was one that everybody calls him a big mouth, but so sure that he was so much a big mouth as what he was, one that was just very fast to talk about what those things were that he was seeing. And this is that case. In Mark chapter number 11 and verse number 20, it begins there. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursest, it's withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. I hope everyone that's hearing me tonight will get a hold of that. To be, have faith in God. You can't have faith in anybody else like what we can have faith in God. That's for sure. Well, then, we need... indeed need to have confidence in the Word of God. The Word of God, we read in the book of Psalms, listen to these words. Psalms 119 and verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Ever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if God's word has been settled forever in heaven, I just believe with all my heart that God has given the English-speaking people a copy of his word, and we find that in the AD 1611 King James Bible. Amen. Because in that Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, there are no stories about something that is not right. There are no fairy tales about anything. And when you read about something in one place, it's not long you can read about that same thing in another place, and it always, always, always agrees with each other. How's that possible? Because it's the Word of God. That's how it's possible. And we can have confidence in the Word of God, because the Word of God does not give us any fairy tales at all. It tells us nothing but the truth. Hallelujah for that. We need confidence in believing God's word every day. Philippians chapter 4, listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. By the way, the book of Philippians was written while the Paul was in jail. Amen. Many of the books that we have in our New Testament written by the Apostle Paul, many of those same books were written in a jailhouse. Most of the Apostle Paul's ministry was spent inside the jailhouse. And yet he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. How in the world could he say that? Because he'd been outside and he'd seen God use him, and he'd been inside the jailhouse, and every time he'd been inside the jailhouse, he saw God using him there also, amen, with men that he would not ever have seen had he not been in jail, amen and amen. Well, you see, we need to have confidence in God's word. We need to have confidence in believing God's word every day. We need to have confidence in other people. Oh, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. As soon as I said that, I know for a fact, as soon as I said that, there was somebody that came across somebody's mind, and that somebody that came across somebody's mind, that somebody said, hold on here, preacher. Hold on. This boy here claims to be saved, or maybe he's a member of the church where I'm at, and I know for a fact I can't have any confidence in him. Well, I'm not talking about just him. I'm talking about having confidence in God's people who have been born again. I'm not talking about those that claim to be God's people that have just been saved and joined the church and all that kind of, I'm not talking about that kind of people. I'm talking about people who have been born again by the grace of God. Amen. That's the kind of people I'm talking about. And that's the kind of people that God's talking about here too. We need to have confidence in believing God's word every day. We need to have confidence in others. It is easy to find flaws in others, those crazy, those stupid things that grind away at us. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let me read that again. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Oh. You mean those people that like to sit back and talk about somebody else? They don't have a good word to say about anybody. They claim to be, you know, a real good church member and all that kind of stuff. But all they can ever do is sit back and talk about different people and try to get everybody to see the wrong in so-and-so, and Miss So-and-so is wrong, and Brother So-and-so is wrong here and all that stuff. No, I'm not talking about that at all. And God's not talking about that neither. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We're to consider one another well enough as to where we can provoke each other unto love and to good works. They probably don't love you quite as well as what you think you love them. Amen. Love is a two-way street. Amen. I've been a counselor for nearly 40 years. I know what I'm talking about when I'm telling you love is a two-way street. There's no such thing as a one-sided sin.
Amen.
No such thing as a one-sided sin. Every sin's got two sides to it. There's two sides, which means there's two different people that's always going to be concerned in that sin. Amen and amen. But you see, I'm talking here about let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Well, isn't that amazing? We need to have confidence in others. You see, that crazy, stupid thing that grinds away at us that somebody else has got. When you stop and think about this for a moment, there's no doubt that same crazy, stupid grinding away that you have to put up with in you anyhow on a daily basis. Amen and amen. That's exactly the truth, I'm telling you. We have to have confidence in others. Not confidence in others' mistakes. We have to have confidence in others, knowing that others love us like we love them, and we know knowing others that love God like what we love God, knowing that there's others in the family of God, and there's always going to be others that needs us to be there to strengthen them. That's how it always is. Amen. That's how it always is. You see, we need to have confidence in others. Well, very soon, we understand that we must have confidence in others, the same confidence that we have in God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9, listen to these words. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. I'm going to read it again. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. You know, when you think you can find fault in somebody else, hello, go look in the mirror. I'm telling you the truth. Go look in the mirror. Because that same fault that you think that somebody else has got is no doubt the same fault that you're putting up with yourself. Amen and amen. Well, listen to me. I'm here to talk to you tonight about the fact of having contentment in God, confidence in God, yes. We must have contentment also. The Apostle Paul suffered many things in his life, and yet while he was suffering all of those things, listen to what he wrote to the church at Philippi. Chapter 4, verse number 11. Listen to this. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I think it was my wife that came up with this little saying of hers. I probably won't even be able to remember it now that I want to say it.
And I'm not going to help you.
Oh, you're not going to help me either. Oh, that's a wonderful wife. Hallelujah.
Are you talking about faith that we lived in?
I'm talking about the fact of contentment.
Oh, contentment, yeah.
Yeah. Come on, spit it out. Oh, but stick your tongue out, and I couldn't see it. She didn't have her tongue out long enough. Amen. But you see, she come up with this little saying about contentment, you know. I won't even be able to come up with it now. I thought I was going to be able to come up with it, but I won't even be able to come up with it now. But it was just one of those crazy things, you know. And it was always one of those crazy things that was true with her and with me. Amen. It was true with the both of us. And we always knew it. We always knew it. You see, you got to understand. Contentment is something that God can give us, and he does give us. And I wrote you just, or told you just a moment ago, Paul wrote the church at Philippi, the book of Philippians. He wrote that in jail. That was one of the prison things that he wrote, and he wrote so many of them. But you see, listen to what he said again. He said here, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And what was that contentment? Oh, she's just looking at me. And, yeah, she don't want to even tell me. She don't want to tell me now. Uh-huh. Everybody can hear you laughing. They know. Uh-huh. But anyhow, we'll just pass over that right now.
Amen.
If the Lord brings it to me before I get done, I'll bring it back and I'll spit it out. Amen. Well, you see, contentment is something that we get from God, that's for sure. We owe it to God to be content. Listen to this. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Well, what's wrong with the Apostle Paul? This is in the book of Philippians also. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. You'd think that he was having trouble getting that word rejoice across to people. Well, maybe he was. Maybe that's why he said it twice like that. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. It's just the fact that that's a very important thing for every child of God to understand. Rejoicing carries us a long ways down the road further than discontentment, that's for sure. It sure does. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, confidence and contentment are those two things that we need very earnestly in this day and age in which we're living right now. We owe it to God to be content. We owe it to ourselves to be content. Philippians chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And verse number 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Do you believe that, ladies and gentlemen? Do you believe what I just read? I can tell you right now that I believe it because I have had to live this thing out. I've lived it out, and I know this is the truth. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not half your heart. Not a fourth of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not onto thine own understanding. Hello. I know that's where we like to go. We don't like to lean on the Lord too awful much. It's almost like we think if we get to leaning on God too much, it's just going to tire him out. Something like that. I don't know what world the case at all. You're never going to tire God out by leaning on him and leaning on him all the time. But that's what these verses of scripture here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not onto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall, without a doubt, he shall direct thy paths. Amen and amen. Well, now listen. I'm talking to you about contentment. We owe it to others to be content. What do you mean by that, preacher? I mean we owe it to others to be content. Listen to these two verses of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, two verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How can we do that? I know that there's no doubt somebody that's hearing me this night, right now, and you're having trouble getting up and going for the Lord. I know, I've been there. I know all about that kind of stuff. I know all about that. Well, listen to me. Verse number 2, Hebrews chapter 12, gives us the whole key to it. Listen to verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now listen to this. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Wow. How could Jesus look forward to the cross of Calvary with such joy? Because he knew that instant that the Spirit of God was going to put me under conviction, and he knew that instant that I was finally going to cry out because I couldn't take it no longer. I was going to cry out and plead with him to save me. He knew all about that. He knew about that with my dad. He knew about that with my mother. He knew about that with my wife. He knew about that with everybody. He knew about every bit of it. And he endured the cross with joy. That's the only way that I can get to heaven, is by coming through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. and amen. Well, now listen to me. Listen to God's command. We need courage also. I said we needed confidence. And then I said we need contentment. We also need courage. Because courage is the very thing that takes us through a whole lot of our troubles and trials. Listen to what the Word of God says in Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Listen to this. Listen to God's command. Speaking to Joshua, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt have thy way prosperous, then shalt thou make thy have good success. Have not I commanded thee, verse number 9 says, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Amen and amen. I will never forget. We had planted our first work. God had helped us. I was just a college kid. And one of my professors knew that there was something bothering me. He and I had lunch together one day, just he and me. And he said to me, Brother Quick, something's bothering you. What is it? Something's bothering you. I said, I don't think I've told anybody that anything's bothering. He said, no, you don't have to. I know that something's bothering you. Spit it out. What's going on? I said, I just believe that God wants me to go back to our hometown and start a church. He says, then get going. I said, but I'm still here in college. I can't do that. He says, get going. Well, it wasn't but just 2 or 3 months after that when I went in this back room. I didn't think anybody would even come in there. And this same fella, the same professor showed up for lunch again. Well, Brother Quick, I didn't know you was in here. And we sat there and we ate. Pretty soon he looked at me and he says, something's still bothering you. I says, I don't know. He said, don't tell me you don't know. He says, something's still bothering you. He says, you haven't done what the Lord told you to do yet, have you? And I said, I haven't. I'm still in college. He said, go home, pack your bags, and get over there and get that thing going right now. He said, you ain't got no business even being here in school. He said, I'll send you schoolwork. He said, I'll keep you in school. Well, then we finally did go, and that was the work that we started. That work is still going yet to this day. But I knew it was time for me to leave there, and I was in my office at the church that one day, and I was down on my face before God, and I was praying. And when I got done praying, I just stayed quiet. I was told to do that by an old preacher, one of my dad's preacher buddies. And so I did. And it wasn't but just a matter of a minute or so, and the Holy Ghost says, Kansas City, Missouri. And I blew up. I come flying up, my hands way up in the air, and I said, Kansas City, Missouri. I don't know anybody in Kansas City, Missouri. I can't do that. Then I had to drop back down to the Lord my sin that I had just committed before him. And I told the Lord, I said, when I get home, you're going to hear the same thing out of my wife. Well, that was an 800-mile move. And I got home, I walked in, my wife says, well, you look nice and happy. And I said, well, the Lord told me where we're moving to. She said, well, where's that? I said, Kansas City, Missouri. And she blew up just like what I did. I just stood there with a smile on my face. And when she finally got done all blown up at me, I said, well, now you can go ahead and do what I did also. And she said, what's that? And I said, you can repent and ask the Lord to forgive you for blowing up like that, because that's what the Lord told me to do. And we went to Kansas City, Missouri, and had probably the only pastor that we probably could ever have had in a pastor there in a very large church. And, I mean, he loved us, and we loved him. He ended up putting me on his staff. I'm still a college kid, and he put me on his staff. And three afternoons every week, he and I went door knocking together. You say, what was going on? He was training me. That's what was going on. And he trained me very well. Very, very well, he trained me. Well, that 800-mile move was a good move. Amen. I don't know how I got off on that. I guess I'll give you all that for free. You know, I've heard preachers say, well, that wasn't even in my outline. I'll just give you that for free. It won't cost you anything. But you see, I'm talking to you now about courage. And I just read from Joshua chapter 1 to you. We all can see the necessity of such courage. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Listen to these words. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Does that sound like today's headlines? It does to me too. Remember how that verse started? This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous times are here. They have gotten here. There's no doubt about that at all. They have gotten here. So what are we going to do about that? We're going to quit on God? No, no, no. Ain't going to quit on God at all. Not the first thing. Not going to quit on God at all. You see, take the source, take note of the source of our courage. Excuse me. Second Corinthians chapter 1. And verse number 3. Well, I'm about to get choked up here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3. Take note of the source of our courage. Verse number 3 says this. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. See what I'm reading to you about? I'm reading to you about the source of our courage. And the source of our courage comes from believing God. I have been in evangelism for nearly 40 years. And right after God had called me into evangelism, I still wasn't done with my schooling. And so I had signed up for another degree, and this degree is in counseling. And I don't know how it was that we'd be on the road preaching meetings, and all the time there'd be another preacher that called me, or he'd find us somewhere, or they'd call us. Brother Quick, I got to have some help. And I counseled. I couldn't tell you how many preachers I counseled in those years. I don't know where most of those fellas are at now. I knew where one of them was. He was pastoring a church, I think, in Tennessee somewhere. And that's the only one that I ever knew where he ever ended up. The rest of them, maybe they went home to be with the Lord, I would hope. I would hope they're not out trying to sell used cars and all that good stuff. But all of that time that I was counseling them, God was counseling me. And these two verses of Scripture I just read to you, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4, I'm going to read them to you again. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Get that now. The Father of mercies. Mercies. And the God of all comfort. Did you get that? He's the God of all comfort. Somebody's hearing me tonight. And your comfort level has just dropped right out. And you need some more comfort. I'm preaching to you. Listen to me now. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I know what it means to have people say, well, I can't do that today. I just can't do that today. I don't have time to do that right now. I have dealt with people for nearly 50 years over their soul. And many a time I would hear, I don't have time for that right now. I'll do that tomorrow. And I see him a week or so later. Oh, I don't have that time right now. I don't have time right now. I'll do that tomorrow. And I would say to them, you know, your tomorrow came and went. But one of these days, you're not going to have a tomorrow. That's all there is to it. Well, that's what the Word of God teaches, too. Matthew chapter 7. Listen to these verses of Scripture. Beginning verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That's who's going to heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out many devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? I'm reading to you, ladies and gentlemen, the very words of preachers that one day are going to stand before God and say these words. Listen to verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Wow. Can you understand that? Can you understand that? You cannot believe that, not for an instant, the death Jesus suffered on the cross was when he paid your sin debt in full. But like any other gift you have ever been able to receive, you've ever been given, it is your responsibility to receive it. And this gift of everlasting life is yours to receive. But you'll never get it unless you reach out and take it from the Lord. You must receive it in faith, believing God has loved you forever and forever and forever. God's Holy Spirit is right there now, convicting you of your sin. Please, please listen and believe and receive right now. You can't put it off until next week because next week may not ever get here. You can't do that. You have to do as the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart right now. That's the only time you can do business with God is when he's doing business with you. Amen. Our Father, thank you now for these moments. I'm asking that there would be much fruit that would come to the name of the Lord Jesus through our efforts this night. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our snail mail address is 1122 Church Street. We live in Waycross, that's spelled capital Waycross, Georgia, USA. Our zip is 31501. And thank you so much for hearing us again this night. Brother Ken, I'm turning it over to you.
Amen. And also, if you wish to contact Brother Quick, especially if you're in over the seas there, you can contact him through our email address there, so you can make it a little more expedited. Contact him through feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, T-O-U-C-H-K-I-N-G @gmail.com. Again, feelandtouchking@gmail.com. In your subject line, just put question or comment for Brother Quick. Write out your message, and then we'll print it off, send it to Brother Quick. And when he replies, we will just put it in a PDF and send it right back to you so that you can get his response. Amen. So, also, if you wish to contribute to the Six Eyes Radio Network, remember, it is free for you to listen to, but for us, it does have a cost, and we would appreciate a love gift from you. You have two options. You could go to PayPal, enter the email address, 6i6@gmail.com, and if you're a Cash App user, just enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4. And in both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. All right. Sister Ruth, who do we have here at the end who may have any questions or comments?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We got you, Sister Emily, Brother Six, Brother Quick, and just me.
All right. Well, we'll start off with Brother Six this time. That is, once he gets his coffee. All right, while we're waiting him to get his coffee and decide to join us here, Sister Emily.
That was a good message, Brother Quick.
All right.
I think Brother Six needs a huge cup of Java tonight.
Amen.
probably worked too hard today.
Amen. All right. You with us yet, Brother Six?
Everybody's mic's on.
All right. Well, Sister Ruth, your turn.
My dad was a great message. I always like his messages anyway.
Amen.
Yeah, he's a very good preacher.
In fact, I enjoyed the whole thing. It was a very good message. Definitely take a take-home bag with me. And good load, good scriptures, and definitely something we need to be paying attention to. And, Brother Quick, there's something that you might want to consider in the future. I've heard some preachers actually use and mention about the other, like the Dead Sea Scrolls and stuff, and how they almost say that they're equal to Scripture and you could learn from them, etc. And you could use other versions to learn from, etc. You might want to consider praying about doing a message on that, okay?
I hear you.
So, because I've heard it from some other preachers, and I think it would be something that you could pray about doing a message on.
All right.
So, and with that, I'm complete. Now, if Six is still there, if he finally got his coffee, would be nice.
Yeah, he's here.
Well, your mic is open, Six, if you want to make any comments. All right, well, considering he seems to be just listening, well, we're going to let Brother Quick give us a closing prayer, and we'll be out of here tonight, but want to invite everybody to the programming we have tomorrow, Station 2, at, of course, 6 p.m., and that is My Daddy's Records. You call 515-605-9340, 515-605-9340 at 6 p.m. Eastern, and then, of course, at 8:30 p.m., we have AJ and the squad at 8:30.
Excuse me, honey. We got somebody else just showed up here. I don't know them.
Okay. And they pressed number one, Ruth?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm just listening in, just checking out the show. My guy is Six Eyes, and I was just listening, just tuning in to see some of the programming they had. I don't have anything to say, but, you know, God bless. Y'all have a great show.
All righty. And like I was saying, tune in, of course, Friday, tomorrow night, 8:30 p.m., AJ and the squad, Eastern. And, of course, you call, that is Station 1, 424-243-9617. So, all right, Brother Quick, you could give us a closing prayer, and we'll be out of here, and we'll catch everybody tomorrow.
All right. Thank you very much, Brother,
Brother Quick.
Yes.
Be keeping me in prayer tomorrow. I have a state inspection coming up tomorrow, and I haven't been feeling so kosher all evening.
All right, we'll do that.
All right, with that, I'm complete.
Okay. Our Father, thank you for these moments again together with you. And thank you for Miss Emily coming in with that last request. And we're asking even now that you just minister unto her throughout this night and just strengthen her through this night and give her a good day tomorrow and those things that she's needing to be about doing. We're asking now you just be with everyone that will hear this in days to come, that you just speak to their heart and minister unto them. accordingly. And Lord, thank you so much for Six Eyed Radio Network. Thank you for the privilege of being able to preach on this every Thursday night. And we're just asking now that you just minister unto each of our hearts and that you just prepare me throughout this week for that which needs to be said again this next Thursday night. And we'll thank you very much for that. And Lord, thank you so much for all of your blessings upon us, because you have blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. We're asking now that you just be with Brother Ken and his wife and Miss Emily. Just keep your hand upon all three of them. And for Brother Six, that you just minister unto him. We love you with all of our hearts. And we're just so glad to know that you love us that same way in return. So just watch over us now, and we'll sure enough thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, y'all.
Amen. God bless everybody.